Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
CKUT.
Radio.
Radio.
Sound
waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. My name is Howard Carr, and the co-host of the show,
Thief Sankar,
and along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas.
Special guest DJ with the news,
Brian Amplifier.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms
on CKUT 90.3 FM,
People's Station.
This world is so unforgiving, and I prove it every day. What's the purpose in us living if we're not sure? When a little baby is born, we can guarantee that the little child grows up to be one that we're proud of, one with so much love, one that we can build the future on. It's bitter, yes, it's bitter, needs blessings to dilute. I know, 'cause even the weather is telling the truth. So it rains, so it pours, nature's knocking at our doors. And with all of that, tell me, do we still ignore? Oh no, and no one seems to have this magic solution. No remedy or cure. Now every time I think about giving up, this power makes me wanna fight more. Fight for the will of our children. Fight so that we can protect them. Fight so that love can repair it. Fight so that love will prevail it. Fight so that there will be no war. Fight so that no one robs a cookie jar. Fight for my brothers and my sisters. Fight those who are drowning in disaster. Oh, fight for the weak and afflicted. Fight in the war against the wicked. Fight for the dawning of a brighter day. Fight for a time when we can all say, love you, my brother and my sister. Regardless of color, we are people.
To slave the black man. So just say, not one of my seeds shall make bread or suffer. You defy it anyway. And who you gonna kill them down in Adigota? And you don't know good if could even pop up and slap you in the face. You live the evil life and you live the dirty life. Downright disgrace.
walk for miles, and my heart would be crying dead in the middle of a smile. But then I climbed the hills and saw the mountains. I hollered help 'cause I was lost. Then I felt the strong wind, the small voice saying the storm is over. Sunshine.
Pleasant, real nice, pleasant 2nd of January. Welcome to you all. What a day it has turned out to be. The first was just as nice. And we had our own Christmas Eve, thanks to Drew and DJ Nicholas and some wonderful DJs. We had the first 3 hours, we had a little chit-chat. And it was good to hear some of the voices that I really haven't listened to because of one thing or another. But I promised myself this year won't be like that. I am not that I think we don't have intelligence in our black community. We are filled with it. And I just wanted to expose them more, if you can say that. Let me turn down this thing in the back here for me. Let me turn, because I keep hearing a double talk, because I'm listening back to the program as I go along. So keep it locked and keep that food. Keep that thought, really, what we were talking about, all right? Yes, as I was saying, some of these people are so smart. And you get them into one room and you can listen how they express themselves. With the Zoom, it's called, I could see everybody's face, everybody's expression. The next couple of minutes, I'll come back and tell you the names. The name of that song playing in the background is simply called You See Me Crying in the Rain. How hard is that to do? I don't think it's too hard when you're hurt and hungry. You'll cry in the rain. That leads me to be kind to people. It helps. You feel better. They will feel better. I get teased all the time, you know. I come to the light and there's somebody, I'm hungry, I didn't eat from 2 years ago. What does it take off for me to put 50 cents or a dollar in his thing? I don't care if he's conning me. In the long run, he's only conning himself. Some bad news. Good friend of mine, Mr. Michael Stanley, in Barbados for the winter, had a terrible, terrible car accident. And they're trying to get him back to Canada. And let me tell you something, for those of you who travel, don't be afraid to get travel insurance. It's not cheap. I have two friends in, not friend, but associate from Jamaica. I've known them from Calabar School. They fly medevac helicopters for a company down there. And 2 or 3 years ago, they went to Jamaica to pick up a gentleman. I don't want to call his name. And his company paid $45,000 for that round trip because they had to leave from Miami to Jamaica, pick up their patient up to Montreal and back to Miami. $45,000. So my good friend, everybody knows Mickey. He's at the Jamaica Association. He's at the Blues Fest. He's at Wipka. He's at everything. Good soul. So his daughter, Christine, has opened a GoFundMe. A GoFundMe file. And they're trying to raise money to bring him back here from Barbados. He just had some operations done in Barbados, and they're trying to get sort of patching him up to so that his pelvic broken in several places. You know, so right now, boy, I'm reading this thing and I keep reading it and, you know, I don't know if it makes any sense. You know, to be reading this in the first program, but I have to. And I must say, please, if you can donate to his GoFundMe, Michael Stanley GoFundMe. Whatever you have, you know, whatever you have. We're not rich people, but whatever, it adds up, because he has to get back to Canada. He has to. He doesn't have a choice, because he's got to buy a wheelchair down there. It's, you know, something that he wouldn't be getting for free up here, or a few dollars. So he has to come back to Montreal. So look, go on GoFundMe and check out Michael Stanley. You all know him. His nickname is Mickey. Mickey's all over the place, always willing to help and do this and do that. So please, check that out for me, all right? I want to say many thanks to the Zoom crew Thursday night. It was a nice way to bring in the New Year's for a change. I was expecting to get run on, but apparently he was trying, but he was trying on the name Mango, and what happened? I spoke to Drew about that, and he said, well, he saw the name Mango. At first, he thought it was Pat. I heard him when he said that. And he was wondering, because I guess the poor Ron was trying to get on, but with something that doesn't suits the Zoom. I don't know. What do I know? So, Ron, don't use Mango again, okay? Use Gannett. It was just a sad, silly mistake. He wanted to get on because normally we would be at the Hampton Inn doing our New Year's Eve ball, and I wanted to talk to him about being the producer of this big fete they have there every New Year's Eve night. Nice atmosphere. People dress up and feel good and all that. But it's now 21 minutes past the hour, about 25 minutes to the hour. I was looking for my co-host and I can't find her. She's into a baking craziness now. She says, look at what pandemic has done to me. It's teaching me how to cook and bake, and I'm happy for the lady. You know what I mean? She's doing her thing. So, Ted is in, I don't know if he's there. Let me not say, but he's off. All right? He told me he would be off. So, you know what? I was thinking, I long to hear a little Caribbean comedy. So I just sort of pulled this one up. It's my good friend, Errol Fabian. I don't know how good it sounds, so bear with me, right? But Errol is always a funny man. This one is came out around 1998. So Errol Fabian with a little bit of comedy for about 7 minutes or so, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, who knows. Then I'll play a song for you from St. Vincent that reminds me of when I just started singing in a band. Stay tuned. Remember, you locked into CKUT 90.3 FM. It's your station. And we are here to please the listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the new year. And we're going to get into a little bit of laughter.
This man coming on stage is a well-known Caribbean comedian. He's an actor. He writes stories. He has performed all over the Caribbean and all over New York. And the man is well received in the Calypso tents in Trinidad during the carnival season as one of the best men on stage to make you laugh. Yeah, he has some works out with people like Oliver that you can still pick up in the video stores. He comes from the sister isle of Trinidad and Tobago, where every Trinidadian is a Grenadian. Like it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Let's welcome on stage Errol Fabian.
Hey, That was not everybody. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
My mic on? Number three. Yeah. That better?
Yeah.
Oh, so all you could hear me then?
Yeah.
But all you can't see me? All you could have seen Marcus Garvey just now?
No!
That was pressure. Look, we have a spotlight. It's kind of bright just now. What's that? That what they call it? Now, I hear about a follow spot, but it does really see the highest in technology when we're in New York, eh? A moving, roving, talking spot. Come on, just come. I surely could have seen me better just now than you were saying. So how is everybody? How are you, Sue? Is this your wife? You must be ashamed of him, eh, ma'am? No, you're proud of him? He real long. You like long fellas, yeah? Okay. And this is your husband, ma'am? Or you just take him out to make him feel nice? You look splendid for us, to say the least. You look wonderful. It's so nice to see. You know, I always like to check and see, because when we come out here to perform, you find people from all about the Caribbean. Anybody from Jamaica here by chance? Oh, I'm not going to say it's a wonder, because there's one to take over everything. She said, yes. It's nice to have you, darling. Anybody from Antigua? St. Lucia? Grenada? Some people could show off, boy. Trinidad and Tobago? You understand what's going on? We less than only, but we just make more noise. Let me show you again. Trinidad and Tobago. Jeez, and all just shame me everywhere I go. But it is so good to be here. Wonderful. And, you know, I had a little problem with the promoter, you know. I don't like to complain, but I had a little problem with the promoter. You see, when he invited me to come and perform, I tell him, send a boat ticket for me because I don't like to fly, you know. He insists on sending me an airline ticket. So I there in the airport, day before yesterday, very reluctant to get on the aircraft, you know. And the pilot come over and say, Mr. Fabian, it's all right. It's safer than a car. I say, brother, I don't like the idea of flying up in the air there. You have nothing to hold on to if you're falling. He say, man, Fabian, relax, a big man like you. Listen, when your time come, you know. If you're driving down the road and your time come, that is it, your time come. He say, you could be home in the bed sleeping and your time come. That is it. Where it again? So come on and go. I say, brother, I ain't worried about all of that, you know. My concern is, suppose I up there in the plane with you and your time come. You know what I mean? They take everything so easy, you know. But at least my flight was on BWI. Can I have a round of applause to BWIA, please? Yeah. I just boast about BWI, you know. I just tell everybody that's the best airline in the world. And here now, man, no matter where in the world I am, when you see I put my foot on a BWI, I feel like I'm back in Trinidad already. You know, it's the nice, the flight attendants will be coming down the aisle with a big smile. And they watch me and they say, chicken or beef, sir? And if you hear your boy, chicken. She said, we only have beef. Then I know for sure I'm back in Trinidad, you know what I mean? I say, so what is the choice? You say you eat or you don't. You either you eat or you don't eat, that's it, you know? It's a mess. But BWI better than a lot of other airlines. I remember traveling on an airline once, and the flight attendant, they were so efficient. The woman asked me if I want water. I say, she say, hot or cool? Who does drink hot water? I say, cold. I want cold water. She say, with or without ice? I say, with ice? Caribbean people, we like ice and we drink, you know, give me ice. She said, block or crushed? I said, well, let me try the little crush. I'm not accustomed to crush. I said, crush, she take the block and put it in she more. I tell you, it's a mess, some airlines. I remember going on an airline, I was so scared, the flight attendant walking down the aisle with a parachute on her back, you know? I said, nah, boy, this is not the plane for me, at all. But I love BB. You know, coming up here, the pilot, like, after he gave us the announcement, because, you know, they're here, boom! I don't like to hear that at all. I always feel they're going to tell me something wrong. You know, so you go, boom! And he's never understand, ladies and gentlemen, pilot speaking, captain, and a long set of information that we doesn't bong to know at all. But how high he flying? When you crash, you crash. You tell me to have a difference between a fall from 12,000 feet and 35,000 feet? I don't give us how much visibility he have. We are in the aisle. He telling me about what on the left of the plane and what on the right of the plane. Me in business with that. I can't see nothing anyway, you know? One set of information, estimated time of arrival, the temperature, when rain gonna fall. I mean, why you telling me all of that for? You know, after all the old talk, he forget to turn off the PA system. So the whole plane here, and he talking to the co-pilot afterwards. He say, boy, you see this long flight? Me able to that, you know. I could put this plane on autopilot right now. And you see that new flight attendant, she could come and give me a blowjob. And a cup of coffee. Everybody hear the man say he want a blowjob and a cup of coffee, so the flight attendant now running up the aisle to tell the man turn off the intercom, a passenger stop and say, darling, I can forget the coffee. It's a mess. It's not easy, but I love my baby. I remember reaching home on a baby once. Reach home in Trinidad, you know? And of course, they try to get your luggage giddy, you know? It's on this thing that goes wrong and wrong and wrong. And I real bad lucky, you see me? A bad lucky bad. You understand? 9 out of 10 times I grab my suitcase and go in, I feel somebody touch me and tell me that it's them own and mine is over there still, you know? Some others have somebody with identical luggage to me, you know? Brown paper bag. So, I there waiting for my luggage and I hear a woman bawl out, where my dog? So I was like, what is that lady's problem? Where my dog? If I don't get my dog, I go mash up the airport. Yeah, no? And she looked like she could mash up the airport, eh? She about twice my height and broad like a immortal tree. So of course, you know, the airline will send over the most junior person, go and see what is that lady's problem. Said the fella come over, problem, ma'am? She said, yes. I put my dog on the plane in JFK, and now I reach here, I'm not seeing my dog. I want my dog, else I go mash up the airport. He said, all right, lady, calm down. The dog, probably still in the plane. I'll go and check. And he run across the tarmac, went into the plane, into the hold, and he found the dog dead. So he tell himself, me ain't taking no crap for the airline. I go and tell she as it is. He say, lady, your dog get on the wrong flight. It gone Caracas and it will come back tomorrow. So you'll have to leave your name and your address and we will bring the dog for you. She said, well, all the better bring my dog here and give him the name and address. And poor fella, he gone from pet shop to pet shop. Looking for a dog identical to the one he see there in the plane, you know? Well, he was lucky and he found one, so he went to the lady's house the next morning. Mr. Smith, here's your dog. She says, sir, that is not my dog. He said, no, Mr. Smith, this is your dog. You see, it went to Caracas on the 424, came back on the 425, but even back with a little accent now. Here's your dog. She says, sir, that is not my dog. He says, oh God, let me give my breakdown. What the dog? They're the same dog. She says, sir, that is not my dog. My dog is dead. I was bringing it home to bury it.
Oh, Lordy. That's Mr. Errol Fabian. And funny guy. Just standing talking to him. We had him here one or two times for the comedy show. And I do miss that comedy show. I really do miss that comedy show because in the good old days, it was a lot of fun. So let me play pay. Let me play some commercials because they got to pay the bills. All right, so stay tuned.
Palace, 6343 Victoria. Doubles. The Caribbean News is sponsored by TNT Palace, 6343 Victoria. Doubles. Macaroni pie, fresh roti made every hour. All your traditional Trinidadian flavors. Open 6 days a week till 8 p.m., closed on Mondays. Call 514-587-8423, TNT Palace, 6343 Victoria.
Hi, this is Derek Sager, stay-at-home dad and pre-COVID comedian. I'm sorry, I'm eating a hot turkey sandwich. Again, I made tons for the holidays. I'll probably still be eating turkey till Valentine's Day. But it's time we talk about our resolutions. Please, stay at home and limit your contacts. Let's protect each other. And if anyone has a recipe that calls for 17 pounds of leftover turkey, I really need that. Like, really. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Still looking for a holiday gift or two for the special people in your life? CKUT has new merch, including hoodies and t-shirts, that showcase classic designs dug up from our art attic. Head to ckut.ca to discover our new merch store and find out more about sizing and shipping. Happy holidays from all of us at CKUT.
All right. Remember, coming up at 20 minutes to, we'll be the editor of the community contact, my go-to man when I want to know what's happening in the community. Mr. Egbert Gay will be with us for approximately 20 minutes or so, talking about the pandemic, how it's affecting the black community as such. All right, so stay tuned for that. But, you know, my DJ Nicholas was telling me about this band from St. Vincent, who goes by the name of Silk, but it's spelled in a nice different way. Let me see if I get it and tell you. Reminded me so much of myself as a young man being in Viscount's band, yes, because we traveled a lot then, and clean musicians, not like what you see here with the pants down to the knees, etc., etc. They spell Silk, S-I-L-C. And they are doing good. I enjoy what I heard. So he knows I like that kind of music. Speaking of music, right now, you heard the song that I opened with. I didn't even mention that. I was so wrapped up in the theme song. Where's my paper? That was Barris Hammond's latest song. My gosh, it's everything is falling apart. Today has been a wild day for me. Yes, the song that I was talking about, Call to Duty, it's called, by Barris Hammond. If you have time, download that. And I open with a song simply called Crying in the Rain. I mentioned that. A young man by the name of Daniel Brown, and The Storm is Over by Don Campbell. I don't know if the storm is over, but we are on our way. And what was I saying again? I'm doing so many things at the same time here. That's what happens when you have too much information in your head. And I was, you know, today is a crazy day, folks. One of those days when you wonder, what the hell are you doing, Stretch? I want to say hello to Mr. Ian from Otter Lindsay. Young man out this way, he donated his $100 a couple of weeks ago. 514-781-7373, just in case you need a mechanic out here. And I will recommend him. I'm not doing this because he donated to the station, but the mere fact that he's a good mechanic, all right? One of those that went to school and doing the theory and the practical. All right, so what I wanted to do is give you a taste of this song. And it simply goes, Can't Take It Anymore. You go on YouTube and download the video, you'll see what I'm talking about. Clean cut and a nice presentation of this band, Silk. Right after will be Community
Tonight
Contact Editor.
I'm squeezing my pillow. Tonight I'm squeezing my pillow. Cause you're not here anymore. And I know you're not sleeping. You're staring right at my door. Oh yeah. But I won't keep pretending. I don't want you. And I won't keep pretending. I don't care. I can't take anymore. You're the winner. I'm coming now for you. Can't let my ego deny my body of some loving tonight. Girl, this symphony, you can think what you like, but I can't be no more. Oh no, I can't be no more. Hey, it's been too.
By the name Silk, all right, from out of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But as promised, on the phone line here with me is Mr. Egbert Gay. And, of course, what's been happening in this world today, it's crazy. Egbert, you there?
I'm there, Stretch.
My first question to you. Mm-hmm. How has this pandemic been affecting my black community?
Well, you know what? Our community kind of took the, and a lot of minority communities also took a good beating from this pandemic. I mean, whatever you look at the figures around the world, we have close to 2 million people died from the disease out of 84 million who've mm-hmm. been infected. And four times the amount of, let's say, mainstream community, the white community, can be attributed to the black community and other minority groups. So we took a lot of beating from that, mostly because black people and other minorities work on the front lines, you know, work in the healthcare system, right. Work in the grocery stores, work in service industries. So they are out there and they could hardly avoid, you know, this really, really deadly disease. So they took a good beating out of it, both in the United States and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it affected them really bad. In Canada, we have something like 590,000 people affected. 15,000 fatalities. That's serious numbers. Those are serious numbers. Quebec accounts for about 8,000 of those fatalities. And again, you know, when you look at the numbers, when you dig deep into the numbers, you see how unfairly it sort of impacted on our community and other minority groups.
Right. And What is holding us back here with the vaccine? Because I saw the soldier that was in charge, he gave time off over the Christmas holidays. Is it affecting our community that we are not getting this thing fast enough, or what?
Well, you know what? They only have a limited supply of the vaccines at this point, right? And what has happened is that in Ontario, they've had that holiday time pause that you see retired General Hillier addressed in that, you know, they took 2 days off over the holidays and people were just hard on him.
Of course.
Saying that really, you know, this virus doesn't take any time off. So you got to go head on. I think, you know, Canada is finding a whole lot of roadblocks in making this thing happen, a lot of obstacles, in making it happen. But eventually, I think they'll get on stream as the military kind of figure out its strategic points of distribution and that sort of thing. But, you know, one of the things that our community have to address and have to come to terms with is, you know, you still have a lot of people who are saying, well, they, you know, they don't trust vaccines. They think that...
That is what I was coming up with next. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of that talk, right? And again, it's up to the individual to make choices. But at some point, you got to know that, you know, people are lining up in Florida right now to get it. And people are willing to pay as much as $25,000 in order to get this vaccine. So you have individual choices that you have to make at some point. And I think it has to be based in science. You can't have some guy who has access to an internet thing and telling you, well, this is targeting blacks unfairly and all this silliness.
Yes.
If you're going to criticize the vaccine, you've got to have science. Come with science and then, you know, and make a point. But, again, it's up to the individual to make that decision whether they're going to take the vaccine or not. And again, it's the obligation is on the government to put the information out there and make sure communities like ours that are hesitant and have all kinds of conspiracy theories swirling around, it's up to the government to clear that up with enough information so that people can make proper decisions.
Mm-hmm. Because Microsoft guy, everybody seems to throw his name around like he's...
Bill Gates. The black community, and he's talking about depopulation and all these sort of things, which I know nothing about. As a journalist, I could only go with facts, and I want to verify everything 3 times. If I can't verify it 3 times, I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to go with it. So I think, you know, all the things that we hear that Bill Gates is out to get a black community, I don't know. I can't verify it. Again, it's up to the individual to make those choices, but it has to be on facts. It can't be some guy telling you some kind of silliness because he heard this and he read something online. You know what's happening online. Online, it's a wild, wild west of theories, ugliness, and jackassness, and all kind of silliness that you hear out there, right?
So,
I mean, it has to be based on facts, and people have to make those decisions on facts. And again, if you don't take the vaccine, it's up to you. But I could tell you, there are a whole lot of people who are willing to pay $25,000 to get it, you know?
Of course, because, you know, I was telling my friend, I don't mind taking it. I'll take so much that when I walk out, I'll be glowing. You know what I mean? I have no problems with that. You know what I mean? It's either that or
know,
what.
You know, we have to make those kinds of decisions, and
right.
You know, everybody gonna have to live with their own decisions. You know, but again, you know, people want to, this. The science is well in place, and people talk about how this thing has been developed so quickly. I mean, the coronavirus has been around for quite a while, so
yep.
People have the basic in dealing with the coronavirus, not this novel one. But, I mean, again, you have to look at the united intelligence of man that went into this vaccine. This is not one scientist, so this is not a scientist from Bill Gates' lab or anything. It's scientists from around the world, and you had united resources pumped into this. So that's why they got it in the time frame that they got it. And again, I'm not defending the vaccines.
I really and truly, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to defend them because I can't see.
Yeah.
I can't see the reason for bringing out the vaccine, and it's going to kill people. And what's going to happen? That just don't make no sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't listen to that. Another question. In our community here with the small businesses, how are they surviving?
It's tough like hell. I mean, March, April, I looked at, in my business, I looked at 90% reduction in my advertisers, like 90%.
Wow.
You know, and I'm being generous, probably 95% of a lot of businesses that have suffered. But, you know, resilience is something that defines a lot of our business people and our entrepreneurs. And so, you know, we've seen, like, some of those restaurants are doing pretty good, you know, and those guys, you know, they've been able to adjust and come up with different strategies, sell takeout and online and stuff like that. And so we've seen some sort of resilience, and we've seen, but a lot of businesses are taking a beating. And I think it's really up to our community to really dig deep and support, you know, black businesses at this point, because we really, really need it. And we're going to depend on the community, especially on the other end of this virus, for people to rethink, because we have to figure out how we're going to go forward. We can't go forward in the same old way, like I was saying earlier this week, in a different form. We have to figure out how we're going to be better. Our community can be that same community that's victimized and, you know, we complain about this. No. We have to be a strong, steadfast community, supporting our businesses, supporting our young people, supporting entrepreneurialism in our community. We live in a, like I said, you know, highly sophisticated capitalist society. We can't be here always complaining about this and that. No, we got to go forward here now, seriously, after every major event in humanity. It was so after the first plague, after the first virus in 1918, communities and individuals made changes. Our community can be different. We have to make changes. We have all that it is. We have a whole group of young, smart, dynamic people. They like them youth today, they're so amazing. They're so smart, like 1,000 times smarter than we were when we were their age.
Of course.
And 1,000 times smarter than we are today. So those are the people that have to push this community forward. But they got to be ready. They got to prepare themselves, go out there, start businesses, get the training, go to school, do whatever it takes to lead our community out into the future. We can't be the same old thing, complaining about this and police this. We're going to challenge police properly. We're going to challenge government properly. We're going to take our place in society. We have no choice.
Yeah, because we got the talent there. I was
you know, one thing I wanted to point at, you look at the some guy like Nicholas Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was a valedictorian at Princeton.
Ooh,
right?
Wow. Yes.
That's Dexter Johnson's son and his wife, right? So his wife is Jamaican. He's from Bermuda.
Right.
So look at a guy with that caliber. We saw over the last couple of months that Maya Johnson is going to be, you know, anchoring the news on CTV. We see also that Sean Henry is taking over the job at Daybreak on CBC. So we have talent. You know, we have to able to recognize the talent, support the talent, and push forward. You know, another guy that we saw recently, we saw Roderick Roderick Rodney, a young Jamaican guy who put his life on the line put his life on the line to save a guy from jumping over into the Carrier Expressway.
Yes.
That's the kind, that's the caliber of young people that we have in our community.
And
we need support. We need people to go beyond the posturing online, go beyond all that silly talk, and start supporting each other and just get, let the black community get busy and get ready. Because we've been here too long to be, you know, at the point that we are.
Yes,
we've
sir.
We've been here, like, you know, you look at my wife's family. They've been here, black people, they've been here long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Right? Generations
we
upon generations. And
the other communities, we can't be so after this virus.
One of the things is, I was following up this case in LaSalle at the Unipri pharmacy where they blank the black...
With the black hair products.
Yes.
It means that, it means beyond any doubt that society just undervalue black people over and over.
Mm.
Even the businesses. What she's saying that we can do with our black dollar. It means that we have to start supporting Princessa more.
Yes.
Isn't that what we, that's what it means, right? It means we have to build a business where we can sell, where we can challenge the other groups from outside of our community. So we have to invest in each other and start a hair and beauty supply product place. Just like Peter had built. You remember the power that Peter had built in Côte d'Ivoire?
Yes,
with, you know, with Doreen's. It can be done. It was done before. It can be done again.
Yes, sir.
So we don't have to go to the joint in LaSalle for some woman to say, well, this and that. They're gonna, they have no value for black people. They see five black people in the store, they start getting worried.
Nervous.
You understand?
Yep.
So when we would tell the city that we bring in 200,000 blacks for Kai Fiesta, the city started to panic. We don't want so many black people. We have to show force. We got to build our own businesses and support our businesses. We have no choice.
You know, but...
And we have the young people who can do it.
Yeah, of course.
But they need to get busy. That's all.
Of course, because right now, one of the young entrepreneurs, he had a thing on Facebook where he said, you're still supporting other places when it comes to your product. What happens if I open a store? Will you support me, or are you just going to say you're going to make so-and-so rich?
And That's it. You know, the challenge is, okay, we have to challenge racism when we see it. We have to challenge that kind of backwardness we see in mainstream society. We have to challenge it. Challenges, that's fine. But you, the main thing and your paramount, obligation is to build businesses and support them. That's your paramount obligation. Nothing else. Nothing is going to get you to take your place in the society more than having a business base and the ability to hire, train and hire your own people.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is basic stuff. The government just put $221 million out for black businesses.
What?
$221 million. They say this is only for black businesses to do research, to set up institutions, and to provide loans. Black people, like, we're just making jokes, huh? We keep making jokes. We got to get serious. Them young people, they got to get ready. They got to go there and take advantage. Go and borrow $20,000 and start a business. You're going to fail. You're going to work for two. You're going to work 60 hours a week. You're going to work when you don't feel good. You're going to miss your children's school. You're going to fail. You're going to go up. You're going to go down. And then you're going to become a millionaire. That formula has been tried a million times over.
Yes, sir. Totally agree with that.
I wish I had $5,000 when I started my business 27 years ago. You know, I didn't have that, but the businesses, the people, you have access to money now. Go get the money. Go get a business plan. Go learn how to do business and go and build and become rich. It's the only way we're going to get respect as a community.
I firmly
building
believe
a
that.
Solid business base and supporting each other. There's no other formula.
Mr. Gay, I have two more minutes to go with you.
Right.
And I want you to tell me, what's on Egbert Gay's head? What is his vision for the 21 coming up?
You know, basically that. I mean, trying to support each other. My thing is, you know, just help young, see how much, do what you can with what you have where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you can with what you have right where you are. Don't try to solve this or try do all kinds of things. What you can, where you are, do what you can. That's what it is, and that's how I try to make it. Hopefully this year we're going to have a couple. My intention is to train at least 3 or 4 solid journalists, so my job could be real easier at community contact. So it's really, and in so doing, get more people stronger in communication. I look at CBC today. I was just talking to the boss down at CBC, and community contact have about 6 people in there. She said, oh, thank you, Egbert. sure, right? But we can't support our own people, right? Because you have to have the money to do it. So I want to have more black journalists, black communication specialists. And I think everybody, like you, and again, you know, one of the most important things, like what you do is so important because it offers people that platform. And like I was telling you, I mean, like we at Community Contact, we do not ever miss your show because my son, who is a graphic designer at Community Contact, he is one of your biggest supporters,
wow.
Right? In order for Ivan to do his job properly, you see that job, that community contact, he licks that up in 2 days, right? He's really good at what he does as a graphic designer, right? So, but one of the things that he depends on is to go to Stretch and listen to the archives and listen to the show because he understands the value of community. He understands the value of doing what you do, what I do, what everybody do, because it's together we're going to contribute to building a bigger, stronger society, community. And Ima always told me that. He always, you know, as my son, he always says, you know, if we don't have Stretch, what do we have?
You
in
know,
terms of voices, in terms of reflecting the musical culture, you think it's an anchor, and we need anchors in this community.
Of course,
you understand?
And I thank you,
so everybody have to value what they do and see how it contributes to the bigger good. Do what you can with what you have right where you are.
I thank you and your son for for even mentioning my name. But one of the things I get a question asked all the time. Why do you do this, you know, this program and all that? But if you can go back 20, 25 years, we had nothing except the Fox.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Look, you know what? I, as an individual, you could hear me on CJD, you could see me on some television show.
Right.
But that's as a journalist, right? As a journalist, I will, you know, I'm part of that whole circle of people who do this kind of thing. Community journalism is so important,
mm-hmm.
and community broadcasting is so important because mm-hmm. it forms that foundation where people can hear themselves and tell their own stories.
Hear the music, the accent.
And hear the music that they play and think. And we have, you as who delivers this program, you have a responsibility also to know that you are doing a big job.
Mm-hmm.
This is no simple job. This is big as, you know, when I go and see JD for a couple of minutes a day, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, I'm a journalist. That's what I do. That's my job.
Right,
you know, I
got up
in the morning, I read a million things, and then I go and talk about it. You, as a community journalist, and that responsibility, that community broadcaster, it's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
To play the music, to keep people entertained, to keep this, the people calling you and all that kind of craziness. It's a big, big job.
It is.
And, you know, like I said, Imal, my son, who's involved in community, he recognizes that and always tells me.